Asking questions is a common human frailty. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Capel, California, with Absolute Philosopher. Asking questions is a common human frailty. Ellen was out shopping today, getting some gas for the pickup truck and so forth, in our little community of Capel. And she came out of the convenience store and ran into an old friend. And as she ran into the old friend, she said, "Hi, how are you?" And he said, "Wonderful, wonderful. I'm living across the street here. I'm having a great time. Everything's going just fine." And she says, "Oh, that's wonderful." Now, the question would cross Ellen's mind or anybody else's mind: haven't seen you for a little while. Where have you been? How is everything going? How's your family? How's your baby? How's your wife? How's your mother? How's your father-in-law? How is this? How is that? How's your son of a gun? Knock it off! Can't you just love a person the way they are without giving them an interrogation into finding out what's going on in their life? We're so accustomed to putting our nose in other people's. How are you doing? Where you been? What's going on? And we think that it's just being interested in a happy, familiar way. But it's not. It's being absolutely nosy. And the more nosy we are, the less we have of a really fine, developed relationship. A person of whom you ask no questions, you just love them as they are. When you see them, you say hi, and when you don't see them, you don't miss them, but you don't question where they may be. Now, it's not that they do something right or wrong. It's just that we are such a nosy type of people. Our noses are so long, we always like to ask questions. And then, of course, the next step comes along. We like to report what answers we got from the questions. We like to tell everybody what they said and what they were doing and what they didn't say and how they were acting and how things are coming along. We like to be the current newspaper. Now, what does the current newspaper do? Well, the current newspaper keeps track of the things that are going on in the world that are different than normal. Normally, if everything was going along status quo, you wouldn't ask any questions because you would now know what was going on. You'd know what was happening. You wouldn't need to ask questions. But when things are not status quo, then you ask. Well, now, if you could take as much time as you do, as I do, we all do, asking other people how is their world, if we could take that time to turning within ourselves and saying, "I like me, I'm enjoying myself, my world is wonderful, I have a great place to live, I have great people that are surrounding me, I really like this place that I'm living in, I really like this body that I have, this body is a temple of the living spirit, it's so fantastic, it's so glorious, it's so wonderful, wow, 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 it is just really fantastic, I'm so happy." Well now, how often do we say that? Rather, we say, "Well, where have you been? What are you doing? How's your family? What's going on in your world? What sort of things are you getting involved in? What sort of life are you getting active in? What's going on? What's happening in your life?" And you see, it's all outside of ourselves. And it's so common, it's so normal, that we have to have the TV on, we have to have the radio on, we have to have the newspapers and magazines to tell us what's going on in the world. It's not a matter of being interested in how progress is being made, but we want to know about the retrogression. The world right now is going through an economic crisis because people used poor judgment in spending their money. And the money is still there. The money is still there. The banks that went default or are going default, or the companies that are on their last legs, the federal government's going to lend them money. Now, how can the federal government lend them money if there is no money? Well, there is money. You see, all these things that come out as a negative experience are really not negative. That money is there. Those things are there. It's just that we have done some improper things in our thinking. We've stuck our nose into doing business not as usual, but in a special way, which is limiting our economy and limiting our country. Now, that doesn't have to be. That doesn't have to be. All we have to do is put our nose in our own business. Just imagine, if we here in the United States were to take all of our money and invest it in the United States, invest it in our own roads, in our own hospitals, in our own schools, in our own people, invest it, turning it back to to help ourselves, we would be the greatest government in the world, we'd be the most prosperous government in the world, and we would be a symbol, we would be an icon for the rest of the world on how to run a government in a beneficial, prosperous way. Now, some families take money and just make it grow, 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 because they use what they feel is their inner guidance. Other families have the same amount of money, and at the end of the year, they have nothing. They have nothing. Now, why is it so? It's so because they don't pay attention to their own inner self. They don't pay attention to their own inner home, their own inner life. We watched a movie last night. What was the name of it?
Tortilla Soup.
Tortilla what?
Tortilla Soup.
Tortilla Soup. And in the movie, this man was a good cook, but he couldn't smell or taste. And so it was a little difficult for him to do an adequate job without having a taster to guide him as he was doing his wonderful things. But all the time he was doing this, he lost his wife, and he has raised three daughters, and he was raising them and teaching them. What was the main thing that he did? He always was a gentleman. He always was on top of it. He always raised his daughters with quality and with respect, with manners. His daughters were not forced to learn manners. They were demonstrated manners by how he conducted his life. And he never hid anything on his daughters. If he was out with a lady friend, he danced right in his own living room, right in front of them, and had a good time. And he did things that he said were acceptable, respectable, and proper, because there's nothing improper with that. And they all learned these manners by how he lived his life. Now, we as a nation, if we live our life as a nation and have respect for ourselves, if we like ourselves, if we take care of ourselves first. Now, if you had a lot of money and your neighbor kids all wanted to go to college, would you put your neighbor kids through college before you put your own kids through college?
No.
Would you put the neighbor kids through college before you put your own kids through college?
No.
Would you put the neighbor kids through college before you put your own kids through college? And the answer is no. But we here in the United States, we go around shuffling our money around worldwide, and we shuffle around our benefits worldwide, and we don't even take care of our own country. We should not have poverty in the United States. We should not have hungry people. We should not have people who need hospitalization for one thing or another and they can't afford it. We should not have a welfare program that is hurting for itself. We should have a nation that is built on the highest and grandest ethics you could ever have. When President Roosevelt, Theodore Roosevelt, was president, four terms as president, he came into office and the nation was in the grips of a Great Depression and just dropped right to the bottom. So what did he do? He took the nation's money and he made jobs for the people so they could eat, so they could have respect. He made the CCC and the WPA, which were works projects where people could go to work. Oh, they didn't earn a lot of money, but they had enough to eat. And they, in the process, built bridges around the United States in rural areas. They built roads. They did many things that were beneficial to the country, and also they were paid for it. And the biggest thing that they were paid was what?
Self-respect.
The biggest thing they were paid was self-respect, because they did it for themselves. They weren't taking a dole. They were not taking a handout from the government. They were earning it through good hard labor. And young men went and older men went and women went and everybody went who needed to upgrade their income so they could eat better and live. Now, maybe this is a lesson that we turn to ourselves. Before we go out and help the rest of the world, our neighbors included, what have we done for ourselves? You all want to go out and teach how wonderful our philosophy is and how wonderful it is to meditate and how wonderful it is to think positive thoughts. Well, how many of you think positive thoughts? How many of you meditate? I know you do, but do you do it enough to make things happen in your life? Are you really centered in your own inner awareness that things happen when you speak your word? And yes, a lot of times they do, but all the time? It should be all the time. This is what we want to train. So we train ourselves first. And as we train ourselves first, then the rest of the world can look on at who and what we are and how we act and say, hey, that is for me. That's the type of life I want to be. People come to the monastery and they visit us for a few days or a week or a month or several months. And when they leave here either one of two ways. Either they leave here as devotees of the monastery and everybody here, or they leave here saying, that's a bunch of nonsense. Because they require you to meditate. They require you to take time to listen within. They require you to do your treatment work. They require you to do your studies. That's what the purpose of the monastery is. And we require that of people who come here. And if they don't want to do it, then please don't come. This is not a place where we just have a kickback swimming pool and fun time. We just have a kickback meditation pool and fun time. We have all these good things, but it is a treatment. It is our philosophy. It's our way of life. Now, but let's start with ourselves. And start with ourselves right now. Ingeborg, when you think about driving, do you think, I am the ideal driver? Do you think I am the ideal driver? Me, Herb Byerly, the ideal driver? Oh, you bet your life. Now, do you think Ingeborg's the ideal driver?
Yes.
Do you think that Sylvia's the ideal driver? Do you think that Ellen is the ideal driver? Now, when you think that you're the ideal driver, you will drive. When you don't think you're the ideal driver, you're going to klutz it, you know. You're going to make a lot of mistakes and a lot of problems. Take care of yourself first. Stop putting your nose in other people's business as to how well they drive or don't drive, and just beware of yourself. Are you the best driver there is? Do you follow the traffic laws? Do you stay within the traffic speed limit at all times? And when you don't, are you ashamed of yourself? You know? No, you're not. You're not ashamed of yourself when you drive out of the limit, under or over it. You're not ashamed of yourself. And you see, you have no values. You have no values as far as driving goes. When you miss your corner, do you just whip it across and try to get to where you wanted to turn in, even though you shouldn't? You just go to the next turnoff and then come back? Well, you see, the foolishness that we do shows who we really are. And are you the ideal driver?
Yes.
Are you the ideal person? Are you the ideal lover? Are you the ideal spiritually illumined being? Well, that's what it's all about. When you can answer yes to those questions for yourself, then you are. And truly, when you answer yes to those questions and you're not, you know what kind of liar you are. But hang in there, keep working on it. I got confidence in you.
Thank you.
Have a lovely evening and know that I love you. I love you. I love you.
Hello.